You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now we're doing something very special today. We are visiting a photography exhibition by visually impaired digital photographic artist, Robert H. King. And it is so lovely to speak with you again, Robert.
Yeah, it's nice to catch up with you again. It's been a while.
I know, and we're back at Clydebank Town Hall in Scotland, and this time it's your latest exhibition. It's called Everything Near Becomes Distant. And you are exploring a different connection this time. It's between sight loss and memories.
Yeah, that's right. An issue that's seldom talked about amongst blind and visually impaired people is that when you lose sight later in life, your visual library of photographs and images and memories tends to fade over time to the point where they're practically impossible to recall. And for myself, for example, I just see shapes and colours. I did a bit of research prior to the whole series, and I found from the questions that I posted to visual impaired and online forums that it was something people found traumatic. They acknowledged it, but they didn't really want to discuss it because it was quite a difficult issue to come to terms with. But yeah, it seemed a relatively common thing, but just not talked about.
So you mentioned that you did a little bit of research on the topic, but personally for yourself, is this something that you are struggling with as well, like losing this visual memory of your past?
Yeah, definitely. What I'm finding now with all the projects and the photography projects that I'm working on, they're all based on personal situation. I feel that's been more authentic to the art that I'm trying to produce. But yeah, you're right. My own visual memories have practically disappeared. So anything prior to 1989 is almost completely gone. Now, in 1989, I lost my sight for the very first time, and I was blind for a number of years before surgery restored a little bit of vision. Can't really recall that. And the other issue for me is that I lost my mother and my brother both during COVID. And when it came to clearing out houses, there's no photographs to be found. None existed. And older family photographs were destroyed in a fire when I was a teenager. So there's no visual record of family holidays and family members and places we visited and houses we used to live in. So I'm trying to recall all that and I can't. It's gone.
And I think you can see that reflected in your current exhibition. I had a bit of a look before we started talking, and it's changed quite a bit in style. I think your last exhibition, we spoke about this, and it was a bit more medical about you had your medical scans of your eye, your retina. There was that sense of it. But this one is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just a flurry of colors and emotions and feelings through it. It's quite blurry. It's quite hazy. How would you describe how your style changed?
It's a really good question, and I've been asked it a few times over the last couple of days. It's really difficult to try and pin down. But what it's inspired by, and your listeners might not be aware of this, but the artist, activist, painter, writer, Derek Jarman, in the last few weeks of his life, produced a film called Blue, which was just a solid blue screen. And he was narrating how his sight was disappearing. Now, most people who watch the film see something in there, but they can't because it's just a blue screen. I was kind of inspired by that because I came across that work again recently in a theatre production. And the interesting thing is, with the blurred gradient colours that are in the current exhibition, a few people that I've come into contact with who've seen the work have asked me how I've managed to make the work move, because they envisage that some colours are changing and something's changing in there. And it's like that. And I've mentioned in the information that accompanies the exhibition that these works, for me, were physically difficult to recreate because it meant staring at really large, bright screens for long periods of time. And I was experiencing that. So trying to get the work finished when it looked like it was constantly moving, in a sense, that's a happy accident. It was never intentional, but that's how the work seems to have come out, especially when I'm talking about in some of the earlier images being by the Clyde. And I remember the Clyde almost being like blue and green Tiffany glass, and that kind of shimmers. And the image, when I look at it, moves, but that's just my eye condition. It's not intentional, but it's a really nice aspect to the work.
Mm, it's fascinating, and it makes sense because you are trying to get the feeling across of specific periods of your life, because we're really traveling through the past with you, your own life, your own memories, and and there's this sense of different emotions when you go through them. Do you find that people get a little bit emotional when they talk about memories, or even, you know, look at, in your case, photography that's meant to evoke memories and feelings?
Yeah, there's been some good feedback on that. People have recognised the narrative behind some of the images, especially locally. Mm. There was a woman in the other day who was getting quite emotional because she remembered playing around the allotments and the disused railway station that was behind the tenements when I was about 11 years old. And she was getting almost tearful about sort of happier times, and she knew, or she understood what I was trying to achieve with the images. She kept telling me that art wasn't really for her, but at the same time she recognised something from her own memories and her own past, and she couldn't recall exactly what it looked like. And it turned out after the conversation that she was having sight issues as well. It seems to resonate, definitely it does.
How do you take these photographs? Because you are a digital photographic artist, so you obviously rely on, I think you told me earlier that you use very big screens at the moment.
Yeah.
I imagine there's quite a lot of editing, but how does the whole process look from like starting on an image?
It's been different with each series, but for this one I have sat down and it was purely word based. Mm-hmm. I typed up a narrative of what I remembered as a child or a young adult when I was in my late teens, early 20s. So trying to recall that, I wrote down what became a very long story with key points in the past. And then with those, I sat down with photography based editing software and started to draw on blank canvas with washes of colour to try and recreate it and just build up layers and layers of colour, and then trying to find images of those locations, or either travelling myself to those locations again and taking photographs and blurring those photographs to a point of non-recognition and merging that with the almost digital painting aspect that I'd done, just to build up a finished image. So it's almost like a blend of photography and digital painting.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very much like, it reminds me of a lot of paintings you would see in galleries these days, these more abstract, just color-based, lots of light and shadow play, and these shapes that you almost can't decipher because they're just blending into each other seamlessly.
Yeah.
So it's very stunning. I really enjoy it. And
I had a comment made recently when someone was asking me if I was inspired by the work of the painter Mark Rothko, who was well known for his large-scale paintings of just what appeared to be solid colour. But on reflection, when you look at them, there's a lot more going in than just a red canvas or a blue. So it's more that. And again, those kind of works are down to the individual looking at it. You tend to project what you're feeling onto the work, which is what's happening with the images in my current exhibition.
And Robert, why photography? Why is this a medium that you're so drawn to, even as your sight, I guess, deteriorates and changes?
My background is graphic design based. I worked for a photography gallery for the best part of 16 years. And even then I had sight issues, but I was always inspired and impressed by the different approaches that artists were taking to the work. Some were based on purely on collage, cutting out photographs, layering them together. There was one artist, Dennis Doran, who photographed allotments using an old flatbed scanner, and he was placing it on top of things when he was outside. And, you know, just that huge scope of what people were doing. And I thought I'd give it a go myself. and I've not really had a focal point what I'm doing. It's just been ideas for work now and again, something that's caught my attention. I've produced some pieces that I'm interested in, but now there's a more detailed focus on visual based work. My sight's starting to deteriorate again, so there's a sense of urgency that I've got ideas for project that I want to get underway before I'm going to find it even more difficult to do. But photography, it's a universal language. You can look at a picture, you could look at the works in the exhibition. You don't particularly have to come from Clybank, you could be from anywhere, and hopefully it could resonate with you. So yeah, photography is a universal language.
Well, on that note, I think we'll drop into the exhibition space, and now I might ask you to show us your favourite photo from this exhibition. So let's head over, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we are in the exhibition space. You can probably hear the acoustic change. It's a nice, long, bright hall with, I think it's 12 photos, Robert? Does that sound right?
12 images, yeah.
12 images. And I have asked Robert to choose his favourite, which he has. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, this image is titled Girvan 1971 Seafront. When I was younger, we used to travel to Girvan for summer holidays. We always used to stay in a small cottage. And Girvan was a really vibrant holiday location at one point in time. And I had in my mind memories of a huge inflatable amusement thing. And I say thing because I couldn't actually recall what it looked like, but I knew it was rubber and inflatable and wobbled and moved. And when I was doing research on this series, I found out it was called The Fifth Dimension, and it was built by a psychedelic architect. Oh. And it turns out through later research, he's actually the father of Damon Albarn from Blur. So it was quite...
Oh, wow, so a bit of connection to music?
Yeah, there was that again. So that was, with my background in music, it was nice to find that. But there was only two of these things ever built. One was down south. So effectively what this was a huge series of about 12 to 15 domed pods. And you walk through this keyhole entrance, and once you were inside, you were just plunged into a psychedelic experience of the floors moved up and down. They were made of foam. You could feel things moving across your face. You touched the walls. They felt wet, then they felt dry. There were switches to turn things on and off. And being visually impaired, I was just...
amazed.
I was amazed, but I was also slightly terrified at the time. There was mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on the walls. There was smells of rubber and smells of plastic and vinyl. There was noise. You could hear the engines whirring. There was sound effects going on. It was just a complete assault on the senses. And as a child, it was absolutely amazing. I recall all that, but I didn't recall colours or anything of it. But I did remember the outside being orange and yellow. Now, I did a bit of research online, couldn't find anything, and then by chance someone had posted on my Instagram account about something they'd discovered, and it was this exact same sculpture, this architect. So I had to look online at the photographs, and I was like, whoa, this is exactly what I remember it to be, with the colours. And I'd already started work on this. So I had the sky, the seafront, and stripes of orange and red across it. And I was amazed at how much it actually reflected on the photograph that I had found.
That's really cool.
So it was a really fun time. It was a really happy time, even though my sight wasn't great at the time. Just being inside and knowing that if I fell over, it was soft. There was no worry about having an accident like you might do with a standard play park with slides. It was almost womb-like. You were just completely immersed in this. It was wonderful. Sadly, it didn't last long. It blew out to sea in a storm in the early 70s, and it was never replaced. But when you have a look online, there's an awful lot of people have got really fond memories of it. So, this reminds me of happy childhood it's times very, in the summer.
It's a very happy and warm image. Robert, you also have some lovely accessible features when it comes to this exhibition. So what do you have?
After the last exhibition, a couple of comments were made about, I wish you had some voiceover, I like listening to you. So I've tried to make this one as accessible as possible. Each image has its own large print narrative label, but in addition to that, I've decided to do audio description for it all. So when you enter the gallery space, there's a QR code on the wall which you scan. It takes you to a page of my website and runs you through a playlist, which is not only the description and the narrative behind it, but also an audio described, almost like an emotional description of the colours and how it makes you feel. So there's two aspects. So that's almost exclusive to people who are visually impaired, because it's not something that you see in the gallery. You have to go online and listen to the audio description. So I'm hoping that just makes us more accessible to people like myself. It's something I'd like to see if I went to an exhibition.
And it's really easy to find because it's right by the door as I enter.
Yeah.
So I checked it out as well. And as long as you have, and I think there's Wi-Fi in the building. So if you don't have reception, you can still access the website. And it's just a simple playlist. It's really easy to navigate. Yep.
And I would add that if people can't make it to the exhibition, if they don't have the time or it's not possible for them to get here, the entire exhibition is on my website and the audio description is available on the website as well. So if you can't make it down, don't worry, you can still listen and look at the work online.
Well, and the exhibition is available at Clydebank Town Hall in Scotland until Wednesday, 13th of May. And if we want to check out your website, Robert, what's the address?
Yeah, www.rhking.net.
Well, Robert H. King, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks a lot, it's been a pleasure.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.